want to be is on the Lord's side, that's for sure. And if we're not on there, we want to get on there. So Proverbs, once again, chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. We started this series in the book of Proverbs just a few weeks ago, and we started off with saying wisdom was available. We began to show that it's not only it available, it's readily available. Not only is it readily available, it is something that cries out that God desires us to have wisdom. Last week we talked about not being a sluggard about it, not being slothful about it. And so it's, once again, we don't know exactly how the series will go because we're not going chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Instead, we're going topic by topic. And tonight the topic is going to be about receiving correction, receiving correction. There is a lot of things in the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, that gives two different groups of people. One who embraces the correction and one who hates the correction. And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. Why is this chosen in the order of series is because of the fact that there's wisdom there. And if we search it out and we're not slothful about it, we're not lazy about it, now we get into the spot, okay, there's areas in my life that maybe I need some correction. How am I going to receive that? And like I said, there's a lot of different things that are going to be looking at from this, and we're going to try to stay in one passage for most of the time, and then we'll show you repetitively how it talks about the person who receives it and the person who hates it, the person who embraces it and the person who scorns it. So let's look here in Proverbs chapter number 9. I think we're just going to read verses 7 through 12. We might allude to a couple of the other passages in it for some understanding that goes along with it. But how do we receive instruction? How do we receive correction? And there are some people out there that do not like to be corrected. I don't know if there's anybody who really enjoys being corrected, but the Bible talks about the wise person is the one who actually takes the correction, appreciates it, learns from it, and becomes wiser. I don't always like to be corrected. I like to try to be biblical. I want to be on the Lord's side. I take the things that are being said to me. I consider them. I pray about them. And we're going to look at a little bit of how to deal with correction maybe towards the end of it, because when we're getting corrected by another human being, they're imperfect. They could be wrong. That's for sure. When being corrected by the Word of God, then we need to make sure we're receiving it and just not trying to make excuses about it or trying to change what it's saying. Let's look here in Proverbs chapter number 9. Let's look in verses 7 through 12. He that reproveth a scorner. So what is a scorner? A person who scoffs. A person who treats another with ridicule or derision. So what does the word reprove mean? It means to correct, to justify. So he that corrects a person that is a scoffer, a person who treats another with ridicule, or treats a topic with ridicule, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. So it's saying if you're going out and you're going to try to deal with sometimes that even when you feel led to correct something or someone, sometimes it's going to end up causing you shame. Sometimes the response is not going to be right. It's not going to be correct. Then it continues on, in that rebuke of a wicked man, get him himself a blot. Then he says, reprove not a scorner. And this is the idea, is never to not try to help someone with correction. And there's much found in the Bible about how to correct somebody, how to deal with somebody spiritually, ye that are spiritual. You do it with meekness, you do it with the fruits of the Spirit. If we can't do it with the fruits of the Spirit, then we're not doing something scripturally. But it says here, rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So you see the difference here. He says there's a person who scoffs, and a person who ridicules, and a person who derides, and a person who is antagonistic about something. You try to rebuke them, you try to reprove them, what's going to happen is they're going to end up hating you. Now, this is the difference here. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And it's two different people that are here. And when you're looking at it, say, why are we talking about this in Proverbs? Is because Proverbs is going to show some of us things about ourselves we don't really enjoy. And what we can do with those things that we enjoy, we can just tuck it away. We can pretend like we're not listening. We can just let it go in one ear, out another ear. We can sleep through the service and just say, hey, that doesn't apply to me. And that's when it comes to the person who scoffs at it, who scoffs at the idea or ridicules the idea that, hey, that doesn't apply to me. Instead, it's something that he says, if you rebuke a wise man, and that word rebuke is similar, and the idea is correction. Reproof is talking about the chasing with correction. Reprove a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. So, like I said, some people do not enjoy the correction. They don't. But the Bible's saying here, if you're going to be wise, you'll receive the correction. And not only will you receive it, you will love the fact that someone actually corrected you. You will love the fact that God showed you. We should not want to continue in our sin. We should not want to continue making a mistake or making a fool of ourselves or making it to a point that we turn around and we're not being as effective for God as we can. When God corrects us about something, instead of running from it, instead of not discussing it, instead of not working on it, we should embrace it and say, okay, God, teach me what you want me to learn. I want to be as effective as I can with us. But we deal with people, and I know we've all had people that we probably try to help with instruction, help with correction, and their responses is more like the scorner than it is the wise man. Then it continues on. He says, verse number 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So once again, it's something that not despising the instruction, not despising the correction, not despising the truth that's being taught, instead receiving it. And it's saying that the person that is wise will continue to get wiser. There was a quote, it says, I've heard it before and it was anonymous. It was from an anonymous author. It says, wise men change their minds, fools never. A wise man thinks all he says, a fool says all he thinks. And I thought, why? And that's good. Wise men change their minds. We learn and we grow. Wise men change their minds, fools never. A wise man thinks all he says, a fool says all he thinks. And then verse number 9, it says, give instruction to a wise man, what will happen? He will be yet wiser. He's going to take these things. It's going to be something that he's wiser with. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So it's something he's going to increase. This is what the idea of knowledge is, what the teaching is, why we listen to preaching, why we go to the Bible, why we read the Bible, why we learn from others. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is where it stops, starts, it having a proper view of God. Once we have the right mindset of God, it's going to change the way we look at things. We come to worship. You know, when we come to sing a song about God, we're going to have that right worship. When we come to service, we're going to be coming hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It's not going to be something that it doesn't matter who the speaker is. It doesn't matter where you're at. If it's the word of God being preached and teached, we're looking and we're learning, we're interested. And so many people do not have the right perspective of God. Instead, they humanize it and they say, I'm going to worship God or I'm going to serve God if it's this, or I'm going to serve God if it's that. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, when we talked about hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if you're, don't allow anybody to steal the joy from coming to church from you. You don't. You're coming to worship the Lord. You're coming to worship God. And if you allow someone else to steal that away from you because of the way they act or the way they hunger and thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst after being right, be excited about what's being said, even if it maybe is not your favorite topic, even if it doesn't have anything to do with you per se. Talking about this family conference, you know, the word of God's going to be preached. We're praying that families will get help, but not just families, individuals get help, that our church would get help. We'd be excited about it. It shouldn't be, I'm going to decide whether or not I should come based off of the topic. When have we ever done that for church? We shouldn't. I'm going to come to church because it's church and I'm supposed to be here. And that's why I'm going to come and be a part. And it's the idea, instead of saying, choosing whether I should come or not, it should be, why wouldn't I go? It's because we have this right, proper perspective of the Lord. We stand in awe of him. We do not want to disappoint him. We do not want to fail him. We do not want to do something that is going to do anything that would cause us to shut up. We don't love him like we should. I don't want to do anything that would cause him disappointment. I'm not afraid of his judgment. I'm afraid of disappointing him. I'm not afraid of what he's going to do to me if I sin. Of course, you do have that type of fear, but that's not the fear of the Lord is talking about there. That fear of the Lord, and once again, I think that fear of the Lord is something that keeps us from not doing things. I understand that because the Bible talks about that in Proverbs especially. It says, if you do this, then this is going to happen. We're going to see this in a little while. It talks about how a fool that's prating, he's going to fall, but the wise is going to learn. But it's the idea, the fear of the Lord, having the proper perspective. It's not about not wanting God to knock me over with a lightning bolt. Instead, I love God so much. I do not want to disappoint him. I do not want to fail him. That's how we live our lives. If we live our lives like that, that's what he's saying here. That is the beginning. He says, verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom begins. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Then he begins to give a little bit of about the benefits. For by me thy days shall be multiplied. He's talking about wisdom. And the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So what the Bible is saying there, if you're wise, you're going to be the one that's wise. You're not going to be able to, you're going to learn from other people. You can gain wisdom from others, but you're the one who makes a choice whether or not you're going to be wise, how wise you are, and how much we study the Word of God, how much we embrace the Word of God. We've already learned it's not about book knowledge. It's not just about knowledge. It's about wisdom is how we take the knowledge we have and we be able to apply it to our day-to-day lives. Continue on. It talks about verses 1-4. It talked about those that are wise crying out and talking about building the house. And here, verses 13 through 18, talks about a foolish woman. It's talking about an immoral woman. It says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on the seat in the high place of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in her hither. Saying the simple is going to be one who will turn into that unwise, so that foolish woman. But instead it says, as for him that wanteth understanding, she saved him. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, which is not true. And it's not true in any way, shape, or form. And we're going to look at the foolish people another week. And we're going to look at the strange woman at another week. But he that knoweth not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight as we look at this thought, receiving correction. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that this message would fall on good ground. This seed that's being planted would be something that's falling on good ground and is something that would be an encouragement and help to all of us that are here. Lord, I pray that you convict my heart and convict the hearts of all of us that have the importance of correction, the importance of understanding, the importance of receiving instruction. Lord, you said it over and over in your word. And Lord, that we would not despise it, but instead receive it. And Lord, we help us to know and have wisdom in the idea of what is truthful correction and then correction that does not apply. But Lord, at the same time, when it comes to your word, help us to apply all of it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first, if you're taking outline here, there's only really two main points. And then we're going to look at a lot of different verses that have similar meaning. But to just show you a repetitiveness, there's two different groups. So two groups of people would be the first point. There's two kinds of people all around us. There are those who are unteachable and there are those who are teachable. There are those who think they know what's best for their lives and you cannot tell them anything different. And then the Bible calls them foolish. We can always learn. There are those people who know they're not perfect, who know they need instruction, who receive truth of God, and the Bible calls those wise. So if you're interested, which would better describe you? A person who is willing to take and willing to learn, or a person who feels like they know it all and is not willing to learn. First person I want you to see is the wicked man, where it says in verses 7-8. So, well, the wicked man, that's kind of tough. That's what the Bible calls him here. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. The context these verses are telling is that the fool that is unteachable will not listen to reason. He will not listen to the Lord. You try to show him a waywardness of their error, their ways. You try to show him, hey, look, this is something that as the Lord leads you of guiding and correcting. And you be very careful with that. You say, hey, this is something you did that offended me. This is something that's heading down the wrong path. Let me encourage you with this. And it's how they respond to that. The person who chooses human foolishness over divine truth is a person that's determined to live a life on their own terms. And I've met people. I sat there and I looked at this and I said to them, what do you think about this? Not thinking I'm high and mighty, not thinking I'm any better than anyone else, but they have something they're struggling with. I show them the truths in the Bible, and they's like, no, that doesn't apply. Or we're all sinners. We all do something wrong, or they justify it because of the circumstances. And it's the scripture, and I'm sure people could come up to me and show me different things in my life and say, hey, pastor, when it says this, what are you doing? And if you're willing to listen. Many times I tell people, if they want to have a question for me, if you're willing to listen, great, listen. I says, if you really want to hear how I feel or the truth. And even I had somebody one time say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that many times when I speak or when someone comes to me with an accusation or something, they do all the talking and I don't have the opportunity to talk. I want to give them the truth and the understanding how I feel about something. And sometimes it's praying. Sometimes I say, hey, let me take a few minutes. Let me take a few days. Think and pray about what you're saying, because I don't think reaction should come just like that. It's something you sit and pray. And yes, the Holy Spirit of God can lead and guide and direct you, but I try to take time to be considerate, because I want to be a righteous person. I want to hunger and thirst after what is right. And there are some that is not willing. They hate reproof. It gets them shame. They're in verse number 6, forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. So there we see here the wicked man in Proverbs chapter number 9. Then you see the wise man. It's not just the wicked man. There's two different choices here that what you want to be. You want to be the wicked man or you want to be the wise man. Those are the clarifications. If you rather call him the foolish man than the wicked man, that's fine. But it says at the end of verse number 8, rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. I would like to say anytime someone's ever come up to me, corrected me in something I learned, I thanked them and I got wiser from it. Doesn't always happen that way. Usually what happens with me is I will probably give a courteous answer and then I'll walk away and then spend a little bit of time thinking about it. And then if I really feel like it's something that I should change my life, I will to that person, I will learn and say, you know what? I appreciated what you showed me because I learned from this and I believe that what you said has validity. But oftentimes, that's what he's saying here, is that the wise person is going to love the person who rebukes them. And that is, if that wasn't written in the Bible, we'd be like, tell people just to go take care of themselves. Don't worry about yourself. But that's not what it says here. The Bible says if someone rebukes you, that if it's something in my mind, a wise man, he will love thee. And there's a difference in how we respond. While a fool persists in his foolishness, the wise will listen when he is confronted with the truth. He will adjust his life accordingly because he has a teachable spirit. Go ahead and take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 1. In Proverbs chapter number 1, they show this even in a couple of months. I said it's all throughout the book of Proverbs. But Proverbs chapter 1, look what it says in verses 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So what it's saying here is that they've learned, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. Change what you once you've heard it, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck, head, and a chain about thy neck. So there's the wise man that has a teachable spirit. You can go back to chapter number 9. He realizes his own limitation. He realizes his shortcomings. He grasps this opportunity to develop his life to become more well-pleasing to God. Who in the world does that? The wise person does. The wise person is the one. Once again, you're going to see it a number of times. We're not even going to go through all of them, but wise men learn more from fools than fools from wise men. I mentioned that this past Sunday morning as a quote from a philosopher. Wise men learn more from fools than fools learn from wise men. Why? What is the purpose there? It's because there's a group of people in this world that want to learn because they hunger and thirst after righteousness. I want to be right. Not in the idea that I have to be right and let me prove it. I want to be right with God. And everything I do, everything I say, every action I have, I filter it through. I learn and I grow. And because of that, this is what happens. I learn from it. Now, a foolish person, they see a wise person, and many times they will, what it says here, they'll hate them. In verse number 7, it'll cause them to make it, verse number 8, they'll hate the wise person because even their own life rebukes what they're doing. Correction is good because we need it. Correction is good because we need it. None of us have arrived. None of us has ever got to the spot where we don't ever need some type of help and instruction. Second thing I want you to see, not only two different groups of people, there's two different understandings. One of us can be grounded in human reasoning and human understanding. The second one should be grounded in heavenly understanding and heavenly reasoning. A human understanding is a pathway of foolishness, as we see in verses 13 through 18. Verse 16, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, save, she saith to him. So if we're going to be simple, if we're going to be foolish, if we're going to be earthly in our understanding, we're going to turn into this world and we're going to turn into the way of immoral living. We're going to turn into a way that I have to be right. I'm never going to learn correction. And I'm going to turn into that way. It's a choice that requires no choice. It's a choice that I demand I'm always going to be right. It's merely man doing that which he does by nature. And this is the way that man goes. It's the idea that everybody does what's right in their own eyes, like the book of Judges. And it talks about, and the book of Proverbs talks about that. Probably be one of the weeks. There are so many different weeks. But the person who does what's right in their own eyes, they have justified what's in their own eyes, and they're grounded in their human reasoning. I have what is here, what I see. I'm going to apply how I feel. And that's scary. Sunday morning, the next beatitude, and it'll probably be during a Sunday school class about being pure in heart. And it talks about that purity of heart, talks about the integrity there, and talks about how deceitful the heart can be and how desperately wicked the heart can be. And if we truly want to see God, it begins with the humility of being poor in spirit. And it goes just straight down that we learn how to mourn over our sin and that we learn to be meek and have everything under the power and control of God. And we hunger and thirst after righteousness. We show mercy. And then our heart will have the integrity to see what God desires for us. But instead, many of us are too prideful or too proud. And when we come over here and we see this, no longer are we human reasoning. We reject being poor in spirit. We feel like we can figure things out for our own. I don't need somebody just teaching me. I don't need anybody to tell me what's wrong. I don't even need God to show me those things. We might not say that with our mouths, but our actions demonstrate that. It doesn't matter. I don't need to go to church. I don't need counsel. I don't need mentorship. I don't need any of those things. God says without him, you can do nothing. And he's the one that says that we should learn when we're rebuked. Grounded in human reasoning. Then there's grounded in heavenly reasoning. There's a contrast. There's a path of wisdom that looks and says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the path. That's where it starts. Because it comes to an understanding of some important truths. He has come to understanding of the person and position of where he is and who he is and that we can all learn. And I appreciate even the Apostle Paul. He always said he's striving, he's pushing forward, he's doing these things. These are not things that he turned around and says he's arrived, he's never going to listen to anyone else. Instead, he is always pressing toward the mark. He says, I have not apprehended. He calls himself the chief of sinners. And I believe he's somebody that was a teachable spirit. So now let's look at some more verses that show this. I have one in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, a wrestler from Proverbs. Ecclesiastes says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for the man to hear the song of fools. It's Ecclesiastes 7:5. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So what the Bible's saying, there's two different groups there. And which group are you going to be in? Are you going to be the wise man or are you going to be the foolish man? How are you going to respond to correction? Because those that are there with the wise and those are there that love the Lord and they're giving you a rebuke and saying, this is something you need to change. And they turn around and say, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to listen to this group over here that's going to sing me my praises and sing me what I want to hear. Which one do you want? Which correction do you need? Do you want to hear from a wise man or do you want to hear from a foolish man? Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That when we are reproved and rebuked and showed and corrected, once again, we got to be careful in who we're listening to because we want to listen to the Lord. We want to listen to wise counsel. We don't want to listen to the foolish man. But oftentimes a foolish man is not someone who's going to try to get you to do things that are right. Proverbs 10:17, it says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. How do you refuse reproof? I don't know. You put your fingers in your hands, in your ears, and you walk away. Maybe it's you don't talk to somebody that is trying to encourage you. I know that's happened. We haven't had lots of families leave our church over the last however many years since I've been the pastor. But more times than not, I've asked them to sit down and talk with me, and very rarely do they. And I'm not picking on them and not trying to examine and bring up people and bring up past, but I'm just saying that there is a person that sometimes refuses to hear truth. And it's the idea there that goes along with it is if you should be able to have conversations, if you're correct, if you're right, you should be able to have conversations with people. But there are people here that says in the word of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Right. Go ahead and take your Bible to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse number 1. Proverbs 12, verse number 1. So, and I didn't write this, but it says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. If you love instruction, you're going to love knowledge. But then that next phrase, he says, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. And you say, what does that brutish mean? It means that you're stubborn, almost animal bullish type. Matthew Henry wrote it this way. And he says, we are here taught to try whether we have grace or know by inquiring how we stand affected to the means of grace. Those that have grace and love, it will delight in all the instructions that are given them by the way of counsel, even given to them by the way of admonition, even given to them by the way of reproof. By the word or providence of God, they will value a good education and think it is not a hardship, but a happiness, to be under a strict and prudent discipline. Those that love a faithful ministry, that value it and sit under it with pleasure, make it to appear that they love knowledge. They're willing to gain and they're willing to learn, and whatever asset it comes, whether it's counsel, whether it's admonition, whether it's reproof. Then he talks about the second half of the verse. Those show themselves not only to be void of grace, but void of common sense, that take it as an affront to be told of their faults, and an imposition upon their liberty to be put in mind of their duty. He that hates reproof is not only foolish, but brutish. Like the horse and the mule that have no understanding, or the ox that kicks against the goad, those that desire to live in loose families and societies where they may be under no check, that stifle the convictions of their own consciences and count those enemies that tell them the truth, are the brutish here meant. And so it's, you see there, there's the comparison there. The person who loves instruction, that loves knowledge. The person who hates reproof is as if they're brutish. Let's go ahead now and take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And Proverbs chapter 8. Look what it says in verses 32 through 36. He says, now therefore hearken unto me. Once again, it's talking about wisdom. O ye children, for blessed are they, and we got our word blessed, you know, we had to put that in there somewhere, right? For blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Once again, it's receiving the instruction, it's receiving the correction. Then it goes a step farther. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the post of my door. So not only are they giving this idea that they're hearing, but they're watching. They're sitting there. It's daily. They're there watching for anything that can help them in correcting and looking for leadership from the Lord. Then it says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So the person who finds the wisdom is going to find the life that God desires for them, and they're going to attain what? Favor of the Lord. Isn't that what we want? We want God's favor on our life. This is what we want, God's blessing. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. How do you sin against wisdom? As one that just goes against it, that refuses to hear it. Wrongeth his own soul. And all they that hate me love death. And it says that you're harming yourself when we choose not to pay attention to wisdom. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Say, Pastor, why do you just keep on looking at the same verses that are saying similar things? Well, it adds extra sometimes in certain places, but at the same time, it reminds you that this is not just we're picking one thing out of it and we're saying, here it is, and just trying to manipulate what to say what I wanted to. It's saying that you're one of two choices. You're wise if you take on instruction and listen to reproof, and you're foolish if you choose not to even listen to what someone might have to say. Proverbs 27, look what it said, verses 5 through 6. Open rebuke is better than sweet secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We see who your friends are is not just somebody that's there and is trying to be deceitful, not somebody who's just trying to get you to be your friend by telling you what you want to hear. And sometimes that's what people do. You got to be careful with that. But at the same time, let's remember that it's the faithfulness of a friend, someone who sometimes it might seem like it hurts. I know that's hard to hear, and it's being said in the right way. I've met, like I said, the correction and the rebuke, the Bible talks about how to do that. And you got to, there is something that blends together. Proverbs 19:25, the Bible says, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." Proverbs 19:25, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." So here's the choice then. You smite a scorner. It says those that are simple are going to be aware that they're just not going to be able to get away with somebody's scoffing and somebody's ridiculing. But he says if you reprove one that have understanding, what's going to happen? He will understand knowledge. He will continue to gain knowledge. He will embrace someone that says, "Hey, can we talk? Hey, this is something that I see." Once again, sometimes it's fleshly, but what do you learn? The wise man learns more from the foolish than the foolish from the wise. Proverbs chapter 10. Why don't you take the Bible to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. This will be the last thought that we look at turning wise. And if you went and studied this out, there's a number of other passages that talk about the same thing. Proverbs chapter 10. It says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments." I'm sorry, verse number 8. Proverbs 10:8. "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." So it's the idea there, are you willing to receive the commandments? We have not gotten to where we understand exactly how we should behave. We can always learn. We can always grow. That's why the Apostle Paul talked about this one. You know, he talks about turning. "The one thing I do," you know, he forgetting those things that are which behind, reaching forth to those that are few, you know, all those different things. So why is correction tough to take sometimes? Why is correction tough to take? One of the, and I'm talking personally here, sometimes because it comes from an imperfect person. You know, sometimes the quickest thing, it'd be easy to do, look at you and say, "Well, I know you," and start, you know, saying, "Well, you do this and do that." Okay, you can learn from that. But at the same time, hey, let's sit there and let's talk about this. But when we talk about taking correction from the Bible, that is something that we must remember and hold to, that it's the Word of God and we can learn from it. And even here in the Bible, it's showing us that we can learn from people and we can learn correction from other people. Sometimes correction is tough to take because not everybody wants to hear all the details. They have it set in their mind the way it has to be, and this is what done. And they don't want to take time to listen, don't want to take time to talk. You should be careful. That's why the Bible is talking about don't disdain them, don't hate them, don't listen. Is there truth? Is there truth in this correction that I can learn from? And I've learned from all types of people in my correction. Sometimes it's a little child all the way up to someone that's very old. And sometimes it's somebody is in a fit of anger. And sometimes it's someone that's coming in a very sweet spirit. But at the same time, what I take with correction, I will take it. I will consider it. I will pray over it. I'll look into scriptures for it. And then from that, but once again, if you're willing to correct somebody, you should be willing to sit there and listen and hear what has to be said, not just say what you have to say and then walk away. I've tried to do that before, and I've learned much from how somebody responds, because you learn often from how, hey, this is the reason why I did it. This is how come I responded this way. Right or wrong, I've learned much. And even being married, you learn that there's a discussion that's there. If it's you're just going to turn around and say, "This, you shouldn't have done this," and not give them an opportunity to at least discuss, "Hey, this is the reason why I did it. Maybe I was wrong when I did this, but let's think about this and let's talk about it." So I learn from others when I can learn that try to get details and understanding and see why people say things in Scripture. Show me where this was wrong. Show me why you feel like this is wrong. Let me explain to you where I believe this is right. Have correction, learn, reprove, enjoy one another, embrace the correction, embrace wisdom. Is my rejection of this correction due to pride in my heart? This is another question I think about. Is there correction that I can learn from this? Is the reason why I want to reject this correction is because there's pride in my heart? Sometimes there are certain people you don't mind being corrected by. Other times there's people in this world you really don't particularly enjoy. You don't really want to be corrected by them. And I'm not going to say that per se for me, myself, but in reality, sometimes people do not like someone else. And when they come up there and they say something, no matter whether it's right or wrong, I don't want to hear it. And that's where you become a scorner or you become foolish when you're not willing to listen to what someone else has said. You can learn so much more from your enemies than someone who's just singing your praises. Another thing is, am I recognizing that even an unkind or untrue correction is often a tool of God to form my heart for Him? Am I recognizing that even an unkind or an untrue correction is often a tool of God to form my heart for Him? This past week, when we were talking about being merciful, I mentioned that there was a relationship in my life that I thought someone, it was inside my family's life. I'm not going to go any farther than that. But it's some type, I thought that I wanted someone to say, I think they should be a little bit kinder, a little bit merciful to me. They're not even considering the way I feel. And then the Lord just beat me up that whole entire time when I was going through that message about being merciful, that if I really want to attain the mercy, what I really wanted to do was attain mercy from God. I wanted God to work in that family member's life to be able to have them start treating a situation better and treat a situation right. I wanted God to show and work. I didn't really care about the way they were treating me. I really particularly didn't. I cared about that individual, and I saw what was happening in that individual's life and how it was being harmful to them. I really want God to help them. But when He says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, God's like, if you really truly want me to show you mercy, then you have to learn how to be merciful. And I thought, am I being merciful to that individual? Am I being merciful in this situation? Or am I trying to push my way through so that way that person get helped? And am I trying to beat them over the head with this thought? And God just, you know, you need to learn how to be merciful. You need to, and so in the situation, I changed my perspective. I want to be merciful. I don't want to put up with sin. I'm not going to give in to sin. I'm not going to try to live with sin. No, I'm not talking about that. But the Bible talks about being merciful to another individual. Getting to understand, to be compassionate, getting into their skin to see how they feel about a situation. And that helped me to understand the opening when it came to this family member and this specific situation. I understood better how that individual felt. Didn't mean that they were right, and I still don't think they were right, but at the same time, it helped me to show how to be merciful. And from that, what I'm doing is I'm putting myself in a spot to where I can have the blessed life. Because I've learned to be merciful. Blessed are they that are merciful. I've learned that. And when I learn that, then God's going to give an opportunity to have the graciousness to be able to handle the situations and be blessed. But you have to learn first to be poor in spirit. You have to learn first to mourn over your own sin. If you don't learn to mourn over your own sins, we're not going to be merciful for somebody else's sins. We realize that person is not, I'm not fighting against that person. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against that individual. I'm wrestling against the devil. I'm wrestling against the princes and the principalities and all those things in high places, all that stuff. And so when I learn to mourn over my sin, that this individual's sin is something that is breaking the heart of God, that I need to learn how to respond differently. And that's when I'm meek, I need to understand it. I might have some strength, I might have some ability, I might have some actions I can take, but I'm surrendering them under God and saying, God, however you want to lead, however you want to guide. And then I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And then I can truly learn how to be merciful. And then we're going to see, then we can actually see God, where He can be pure in heart. So how does that apply to all this? Correction usually is not fun. Something we should be willing to take, something we should be willing to listen to, something we should be willing to embrace. But make sure, we'll close up with this, Galatians chapter number 6. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 6 real quick. This is probably one of the key passages when it comes to correcting a brother. In Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, what does that mean? Think that you're spiritual? Now, the Pharisees, they thought they were spiritual. I think of a spiritual person, and once again, however you want to describe that, but one of the best ways I consider this spirit, and we see what verses are earlier. Just go up three verses before that. And he that liveth in the spirit, let him also walk in the spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Go up to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such is no law. That's what spiritualness looks like to me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we all have different temperaments. We all have different dispositions. But is this fruit of the Spirit coming out of me? And then he says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. And look what it says, in the spirit of meekness. So when you come to someone and you want to offer them correction, you want to offer them help, here's some correction. Here's some things I think could be helpful to you. Do you do it in the spirit of meekness? And we've learned what meekness is. Then it says, consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You should be very careful, because when you begin this, if you go to rebuke a scorner, what does it say? You're going to bring yourself shame. You should be ready for, if you're going to go, you're going to take on something, you're not always going to be appreciative. Sometimes we think, oh, great, you corrected me. Thank you for correcting me. I'm going to go home and work on that right now. How many times do people say that to us? Don't. It doesn't happen very often. Now, a wise person will take that and say, well, thank you. I will give that consideration, and we'll consider and we'll change effectively what they see as right is right and what is wrong. But at the same time, verse number 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we carry one another's burdens with us. We like to pick out certain verses and lift them up and say, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. But it says, look, and at the end of verse chapter 5, it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, all those things. And then it says, ye that are spiritual, let us have the heart of God when it comes to correcting one another. And when someone does correct us, whether it's something that's foolish, whether it's something we don't think we need to learn, whether it's something, we can grow from that. And like I said, there's been sometimes a little child has taught me something and I've learned from it. I know I got, and I'll finish this story. I had somebody come to me one time to tell me, we have at our vacation Bible school or Kids Crusade, we used to put a pie in the face of a losing team member. And I had a child come up to me and say to me, why do you do that? I said, it's for fun. And they said, for who? I said, well, probably for the winning team, but the losing team. They says, well, if they lost, why in the world do you want to rub it in their face by making them put a pie in somebody else's face? And I'm not saying it's wrong to do, but at the same time, I thought about that. And I thought, he says, wouldn't it be better to reward the winning team than to try to demoralize the losing team? And I know there's a lot of churches that do that, and I'm not picking on it. And I wouldn't preach against it, because I know the losing team member many times, I remember how many times a man stepped in front of a lady and took the pie, and they showed graciousness and kindness and all those other things, and they learned lessons from that. And I understand, I've even had people, let's bring the pie back, but in a child's mind and also in a teenager's mind, they came to me, and they weren't on the losing team. They weren't complaining. They felt bad for the team that had lost because of the fact that we were rubbing it in their face that they had lost. And it taught me something. I could have blown it off, said, oh, that's just a child. What do they know? But I can learn things from children. I can learn things from even somebody who is even unsaved or not spiritually minded at all. I've had some people be very, that not even members of her church, not even show up very often and be very boisterous and make comments. Well, you know, and it helped me see how someone who was unregenerate looked at our church and say, you know what, if that's the perspective, then I should consider what that looks like. And I can learn from that. I'm going to look it from the Bible. I'm going to grow from that, but I'm going to learn from those things. I'm going to remember who it's coming from. I'm going to see who it's coming from. I'm going to understand why they're saying it. But they said a wise man learns more from fools than a fool learns from a wise man. Are we truly learning from one another? Sometimes people are so close off, don't want to hear anything, and they feel like if they just ignore the situation or ignore a person, that's going to fix it. And it doesn't. Learn to understand that we can learn from each other and to grow. But make sure it's biblical correction. And when you're the one correcting, I've told this to many people in counseling, make sure that you're spiritual, bearing those fruits in the spirit. You have the right heart attitude, the right this, the right that. Because of the fact it's going to be very challenging. You might get attacked if you go out to rebuke a scorner. You might get attacked. You might have to stand alone and things like that. And if you believe you're right scripturally and you're producing the fruits of the Spirit, then hold to your guns. But at the same time, make sure that you do it in a godly way. A wise person will learn from correction. The fools, they're going to despise it. They're going to hate it. Like I said, if we took time, I could have taken you to other verses, the same type of thing. Two groups of people. One who's willing to learn and teachable, the other one who's not. Let's make sure we have a teachable spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the fact that wisdom is available. Thank you for the fact that wisdom is available to us. Not only is it available to us, it cries out to us. And Lord, help us not to be slothful. Help us not to be sluggards when it comes to wisdom. And Lord, now as we go to the next step in this series, help us to understand when you correct us in your word that we will take the things we hear and that we learn and we apply it to our lives. Help us not to be foolish thinking that we have nothing to learn. Help us not to be foolish into not hearing the instruction. But instead, as the wise man, and I know it talked mostly about dealing with other people, but Lord, as we apply the rest of this series to our life, help us to learn what pride looks like. Help us learn what the fear of God looks like, what the strange woman looks like, what family matters looks like, and all these other things that the book of Proverbs speaks so much about. But Lord, help us to take this correction as a wise man. Help us not to despise it. Help us not to try to cause shame. Help us not to try to bring up Lot, all those different things. Help us to say, Lord, I want to be a wise person. Lord, I'm not good at receiving correction. I'm not good at receiving instruction. Teach me, show me. Lord, I will use these few minutes of invitation time to make a commitment to that respond in the right way. And God will depend on you to lead us and guide us. It talks about trusting the Lord in Proverbs chapter 3. We're not going to lean to our own understanding. In all our ways, help us to acknowledge you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.